You know, I can't help but think about where we were.
That's right.
I tell you, I mean, we had an eviction notice on our door once. I mean, I'd seen them on television. Okay. That's the first time I have ever seen one with my name on it. But we didn't try and hide, and I went to the court and said, "Well, Mr. Carr, what happened?" I said, "Stupidity." And they said, "What do you mean?" I said, "Well, both my wife and I started working for our church. Our income went more than in half, but our life, we didn't really adjust our lifestyle. So here you are." And the attorney for our landlord was not pleased. She said, "Well, you don't have a defense." I'm like, "No, I don't." And she started telling about all these fees and stuff that we were going to have to pay, and legal fees and late fees and legal late fees and fees on fees. And so we go before the judge. And I told the judge the same thing. And the judge said, "That's it, you acknowledge this?" I'm like, "Yes." You know. He said, "What?" I said, "Well, I can stay current. I just need some help catching up." And the judge turned to the attorney and said, "I want you and Mr. Carr to go into this ante room and work out an agreement that he's comfortable with." Okay. And she said, "What about the legal fees?" He said, "What?" He said, "Well, he agreed to them." She said, they asked me, "Did you agree to it?" I said, "Well, they told me that I had to pay him. And the truth is, Your Honor, if I paid my rent on time, I wouldn't be here. And they wouldn't have any legal fees." Judge looked and said, "You work out an arrangement with Mr. Carr that does not include any legal fees." I mean, that's... Why am I telling you this? Everybody goes through stuff. Everybody has a story. But one thing is sure. If you opt to walk in obedience to God and you operate in integrity even after you have missed it, God will still come through for you. And you won't need, we didn't go to family. We didn't go to anybody. We went, well, in a way we did go to family. We went to Father. We repented to Him. We made the adjustments that we needed to make. And I mean, it was to the place where whenever we went on vacation, we... If we found a hotel that was $39.99, that was like a luxury suite for us. So we would stay in these really dive. I think the best one was Motel 6 or something. yeah. Which is the one where they said they turn the back for you? Whichever one that was, that was like top of the list. But it had to be next to a McDonald's. I'm serious, because we needed the 99-cent meals, because that's all that we had. But then we found ourselves several years later walking from our suite at the Hilton Hotel in Ocean City. Okay, I looked out the window and just started crying, because right across from the hotel was a McDonald's. And we were on our way to a restaurant, all right, to a seafood restaurant that wasn't Red Lobster, okay, just because we were obedient to God. When He required something of us, we said yes. Did we always want to say yes? No. Was it always comfortable? No. But I found something out. It was more uncomfortable not following Him. It was more uncomfortable when you say no. It was more uncomfortable when we wanted to do it our own way. But when we started saying yes, all of the blessings that God had in store for us before we were formed in our mother's womb started showing up. And that's all we had to do, was keep saying yes. Yes. Simple obedience. That's what, I don't know how I got into the message, but that's okay. I guess I'm just that excited. That's why Sharon has her place.
Praise the Lord.
She made a choice.
Yes.
She made a choice to start operating in simple obedience. She was obedient to God, and she finally got obedient to her pastors. And it wasn't, I'm telling you, it wasn't easy. Because there are times, we know the weather conditions outside, but if God doesn't tell us to do anything, then we can't do anything. And that's not just here. We had to take that position with our children. Really, with our oldest son in particular, where he was living out of his car during a stretch when it was like -2 degrees or something like that. And when he told me that, I had to say, okay. And I'm thinking, okay, we can do something about this. God said no. But now he's on his own 2 feet. And he's taking care of himself. He still needs to get himself rooted and grounded. You know, he needs God. God's not his magic genie. He's going to find that out too. But the thing is, he has to make a choice to operate in simple obedience. That's all that's required. Simple obedience. Since I'm here, let's go to. I want you to go to Isaiah 1. I'm just going to share with you. I shared it last. I think it was last Wednesday I was here. Obedience. In the Hebrew, when you use the verse in Isaiah, if you're willing and obedient, in the written version of the concordance, I don't know why they moved it from the online version, but it's in the written version, the Hebrew word for obedience is shema, S-H-A-M-A-H. One of the definitions is to hear intelligently. See, when you're obedient, you are hearing intelligently. So if you're not obedient, you finish it. Okay. All right. But it also means listen. It means to submit. That's that S word that we don't like. But all of those things mean obedience. And if you are not complying or submissive to authority, you're in disobedience. It's just that simple. But in Isaiah says by the Spirit of God, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins may be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If ye be willing and obedient, you will eat the good of the land. Jesus said, if you really love me, you'll keep, you'll obey my commands. But I noticed something today when I was reading that. It doesn't end there. It says, if you're willing and obedient, you will eat. I'm sorry. He said, if you really love me, you will keep, obey my commands. It's in the Amplified. Then he says, and. That means after you've done what you're supposed to do, he's going to do something. So he said, if you love me, keep my commandments, and I will give you another comforter. So what happens if you're not willing? What happens if you don't keep his commands? You won't feel comforted. Not because he doesn't want to give it to you. Not because you feel out of favor with him. He can't. Because you didn't meet the criteria. It's like in college, there's some classes, somehow, when I was in college, I had to take calculus. I feel like those comedians, it sounds like a disease. Okay, I take. But the prerequisite for calculus was algebra. And me and algebra didn't agree. Not because I couldn't master it, I wouldn't. Because it didn't make, that's the way I was. Still am to a smaller extent. But if it didn't make sense to me, if I couldn't figure out why I needed to know, like, why bother? I didn't care if one train left Chicago at 11:30 and another one left Texas at 2:15. What time would they meet? I wouldn't want them to meet. You know what I mean? So I couldn't see any value in it until I had to take it for the third time during the summer. And I said, you know, I better pass this class. So I just did what was necessary to pass. But now I'm in college, and they're giving me calculus, and I have to take remedial algebra at the same time. You know how that worked. It didn't. See, there's some things that you have to have in place before you can move on. And I hope you're going to find out before you leave here tonight that if we don't have obedience in place, we're not going to move on. If you find yourself stuck, you need to look at your obedience. God's desire is that I told you this last time. Our entire existence is based on obedience. There, can we do a little experiment? Everyone, just stand up. Sit back down. Do you realize what you did took obedience? And not just listening and doing it because I said so. Your body had to be in obedience to the signal from your brain to get up. If something decided to be disobedient, you'd been stuck in your chair. Or you'd fell down when you tried to stand up. That's why they say when your body's not functioning properly, they say you have a deformity. Well, that's similarly, when we're not operating in obedience, we have a deformity. Because something's not working right, and it's going to cause problems for us. John 14:15, first we read, I want you to listen to it in the Phillips translation. Jesus said, if you really love me, you will keep the commandments I have given you, and I shall ask the Father to give you something else to stand by you, to be with you always. I mean the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot accept. When we're obedient, we get it. When we're not obedient, we don't. How many of you have heard the account of Saul and not killing all the Amalekites? All right, we're going to take a long look at that. All right, let's go to 1 Samuel 15 because there's several things going on here. I'm going to start at verse 1. It says, Samuel also said unto Saul, the Lord sent me to anoint thee to be king over the people, over Israel. So God sent Samuel to anoint Saul as king. Right? And gave him some of these first instructions Saul got as the anointed king. Now therefore hearken thou unto the voice of the words of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I remember that which Amalek did to Israel, how he laid wait for him in the way when he came up from Egypt. Now go and smite Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have and spare them not, but slay both man and woman and infant and suckling, ox and sheep and camel and ass. You got to kill everybody and everything. And Saul gathered the people together and numbered them in Telaim, 200,000 footmen and 10,000 men of Judah. And Saul came to the city of Amalek and laid wait in the valley. And Saul said to the Kenites, go depart, get you down from among the Amalekites, lest I destroy you with them. Verse 7. And he smote the Amalekites from Havilah until thou cometh to Sur, that is over against Egypt. And he took Agag, the king of the Amalekites, alive. And I'm like, wait a minute. Why did he take him alive? What were his instructions? And what were the first instructions God gave him after he was anointed? He said, listen to me. Obey me. But he took Agag, the king of the Amalekites, alive and utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. But Saul and the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep and of the oxen and of the fatlings and of the lambs and all that was good, and would not utterly destroy them. But everything that was vile and refuse, that they destroyed utterly. What were God's instructions? And this is after Saul was anointed as? Okay. Then came the word of the Lord unto Samuel, saying, it repenteth me that I have set up Saul to be king. God said, I'm sorry that I did this. For he has turned back from following me. In other words, he was saying Saul is in rebellion, because he's not doing what I said. He said, and has not performed my commandments, and it grieved Samuel, and he cried unto the Lord all night. And when Samuel rose early to meet Saul in the morning, it was told Samuel, saying, Saul came to Carmel, and behold, he set him up a place and has gone about and passed on and gone down to Gilgal. And Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said unto him, blessed be thou of the Lord. I have performed the commandments of the Lord. And Samuel said, what meaneth this when this bleating of the sheep in mine ears and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? And Saul said, they have brought them from the Amalekites up for the people, spared the best of the sheep and the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God. And I'm saying, where does it say that? Beginning in verse 1. It didn't say anything about what they were going to do. They didn't say that they were going to keep the best ones alive to sacrifice to God. And if they were going to do that, how come they weren't working on setting up an altar? Did it give any indication of the people pressuring Saul? Okay, see, disobedience can turn you into a liar. You need to understand that principle. Then Samuel said to Saul, stay, and I will tell thee what the Lord has said to me this night. And he said to him, say on. And Samuel said, when thou wast little in thine own sight, wert thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel, and the Lord had anointed thee king over Israel, and the Lord sent thee on a journey, and said, go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they be consumed. Wherefore thou didst not obey the voice of the Lord, but did fly upon the spoil. That means it just swooped down and picked up the spoil, and did evil in the sight of the Lord. Let me read this to you in the Message Bible. And Samuel told him, when you started out in this, you were nothing, and you knew it. Then God put you at the head of Israel, made you king over Israel. Then God sent you off to do a job for him, ordering you, go and put those sinners, the Amalekites, under a holy ban. Go to war against them until you have totally wiped them out. So why did you not obey God? Why did you grab all this loot? Why, with God's eyes on you all the time, did you brazenly carry out this evil? Folks, we have to remember, we can hide from each other, but guess who we can't hide from? He's watching everything you do, every moment of every single day. And he hears every word you've spoken, and he knows every thought that goes through your head. Every thought. So if you think you're fooling anybody, you're mistaken, because God knows. Back to verse 20. In the King James. Saul said unto Samuel, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord, and have gone the way which the Lord sent me, and have brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took of the spoil, sheep and oxen, and chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal. Still lying, and as king, he's throwing his people under the bus. You think about that. He's like, I didn't do anything. These people that you gave me to lead, they're the ones. And Samuel said, has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he has also rejected thee from being king. Folks, disobedience can alter your destiny. It can change the whole course of your life. It can cost you your life. It can cost you your anointing. In that moment, Saul lost it all. Why? Because he chose to give his obedience to something or someone other than God. And God is not going to have it. He says, I have rejected thee from being king over Israel. And as Samuel turned about to go away, he laid hold upon the skirt of his mantle, and it rent. And Samuel said unto him, the Lord has rent the kingdom of Israel from thee this day, and has given it to a neighbor of thine that is better than you. I don't want God to take anything from me and give it to my neighbor, okay, or anybody else for that matter. And then Samuel got the sword, and he killed the king. But notice this. Saul didn't follow God's instructions to kill all of the Amalekites, so God's messenger did it. And I thought it was interesting that Agag thought he was home free. He's like, oh, well, all the killing's over now. I'm fine. No, if God says you're going to die, you're going to die. I mean, that's just the way it is. But Samuel, in the Message Bible, verses 22 and 23, I got to read all of this. Then Samuel said, do you think all God wants are sacrifices? Empty rituals just for show. He wants you to listen to him. Plain listening is the thing. Not staging a lavish religious production. Not doing what God tells you is far worse than fooling around in the occult. Far worse. Getting self-important around God is far worse than making deals with your dead ancestors. Because you said no to God's command, he says no to your kingship. See, from the very beginning, all God wanted was obedience. That's it. Adam, you could say, was the king of the Garden of Eden. He did not obey God and lost his kingship. And he got evicted. I mean, he didn't get the notice. He just got evicted. And all of the animals, think about what that did. All of the animals that were living in harmony, now some became predators and some became prey. The glory of God was no longer on Adam and Eve. And you've heard me say this before, that the animals didn't recognize them anymore. And some of the animals looked at them like, who's that? I don't know. They look like food to me. Okay. But you think about it, lions and lambs used to lie down together. Not anymore. There were no king of beasts. They weren't fierce animals. But all that happened because now, as in any kingdom, when the leader doesn't obey God, some of the people will follow God, some of the people will follow the leader. That's why it's important that we have godly leaders. That's why it's important that, that when we as leaders miss it, we come to you and say, hey, folks, we missed it. We apologize. We don't cover it up and say it's your fault that we missed it. In Deuteronomy 28, again, we're familiar with all these scriptures. There isn't anything new here. It says, and it shall come to pass if thou shalt hearken diligently. That means if thou shalt obey the voice of the Lord thy God and observe to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all the nations of the earth, and all these what? Blessings will come upon you and overtake you. See, when you're obedient to God, these blessings will stalk you. You think about that. You're being stalked by God. Because he just wants to pour all these blessings on you. And all you have to do to get them is be obedient. But if we elect to say no, then God says no, and those blessings get replaced with something else. It says, but it shall come to pass if thou will not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. And he's not just talking about bad language. But stuff is going to start to happen, and you're not going to know why. Now, don't get upset. I'm very familiar with Galatians 3:13. I know Jesus Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. But if we're operating in disobedience, we're not redeemed from nothing. And anything that's out there can come on us. Not because God's void of power, but because we're in rebellion. Because we're not just exercising just simple obedience. If God said it, you do it. If he didn't say it, you don't. I mean, we make this too complicated. You know why we make it complicated? We insert something that God never wanted inserted. What do you think that is? Everything that you said so far, ego, will, feelings, wants, desires. God told me, join the youth department. I didn't want to do it. So I got religious. I joined the hosts. I said, I'm serving. Ta-da. And guess who wasn't impressed by it? God. Because he's like, I didn't tell you to be a host. I told you to join the youth department. And nothing was going well with me, with us, until I got in line with what God said and joined the youth department. I didn't know where this path was leading. I just knew what I liked and what I didn't like. And it's not that I had anything against young people. I just didn't want to be bothered with teenagers. I didn't think they could all be like you, Rosemary. If you had been different, I said, okay, I'll join. I liked ages 6 to 10. That's what I liked. And at the time, we didn't have any programs for them. So I'm like, well, God, okay. When they do this, I'll be obedient. In essence, that was the deal. But God wasn't buying it. So I had to get in line with his plan for me. See, we have to have what I call Abraham experiences. See, Abraham just obeyed God. Yeah, he had times when he didn't, and it cost him. I shared with you, I asked you a question, why is there unrest in the Middle East? Because of disobedience. Abraham had no business going to Egypt. God didn't tell him to go to Egypt. But Abraham leaned to his own understanding. He said, there's a famine everywhere but Egypt. I'm hungry. We're going to Egypt. I mean, that's... And remember I said disobedience leads to lying? He had to be deceptive in order to get in there. He didn't have to exercise deception had he stayed the course, but because he chose to go into Egypt, he had to be deceptive. Told his wife, tell him you're my sister. Telling half-truths, because she was his half-sister. Because he knew they would kill him. And I'm like, okay, if I'm going along this way, God's going to take care of me because he said he's going to make me a great nation. If I go here, I'm accepted to be killed just so they could take my wife. Why would I subject my people to that? But that's what he did. God still protected him, but he left Egypt with a little number called Hagar, who would have never been part of his entourage had he never gone down to Egypt. And so if he doesn't go to Egypt, then she's not available when his wife gets this bright idea. She's not there. See, it's simple obedience. If you see what looks like a tough road ahead, and you know God told you to go this direction, ask God. God, I know you told me to keep going north. But there's 48 inches of snow. I'm a southern boy. I've never even seen snow, God. What do you want me to do? He'll probably tell you, keep going. Noah never saw rain. Noah, he never saw a boat. So what does God do when he's 500 years old? Okay. Build a boat because it's going to rain. There's going to be a flood. And he's like, I don't know about rain. I don't know about boats. I certainly don't know about floods. I'm like, well, Bill Cosby, what's a cubit? Okay. You know. But he did. God showed him how to build it. Build something he'd never, ever seen before. Built it. Why? Listening to God. Because he was more concerned about being obedient to God than what he did or didn't know. See, listen to this. First Peter 1, verse 13, where I'm going to begin in the King James. It says, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Verse 14, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which has called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. That means in all of your behavior. So this verse is really telling us that we have to become obedient to God. Because it says, think about what it says. Not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance. That means we used to, before Christ, we used to do all sorts of stuff. But God is saying, he's telling us now, as obedient children, we can't do that anymore. So that means he expects us to change from what we were to who we are. We have to become obedient. Philippians tells us that Jesus became obedient to death. He had to, even to the death on the cross, he had to become obedient. Now, going from disobedient to obedient is a process. But please don't deceive yourself. Just because something's a process does not mean it takes a long time. It just means something has to happen before the change occurs. What needs to happen is an understanding that God is on the throne and Jesus Christ is Lord of my life. That should cause us to change, to do a shift. to forget about our own wants and find out what he wants. See, that's what was going on in the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus' mind didn't, well, I'm ahead of myself even more. Let me read the scripture first. Then I'll tell you about that. 2 Corinthians 10. For the weapon in the Amplified Bible, and I'm also going to share it in the Phillips. For the weapons of our warfare are not physical weapons of flesh and blood, but they are mighty before God for the overthrow and destruction of strongholds. Inasmuch as we refute arguments and theories and reasonings and every proud and lofty thing that sets itself up against the true knowledge of God, and we lead every thought and purpose away captive into the obedience of Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One, being in readiness to punish every insubordinate for his disobedience when your own submission and obedience as a church are fully secure and complete, is the Phillips translation. The very weapons we use are not those of human warfare, but powerful in God's warfare for the destruction of the enemy's strongholds. Our battle is to bring down every deceptive fantasy and every imposing defense that men erect against the true knowledge of God. We even fight to capture every thought until it acknowledges the authority of Christ. See, disobedience begins with a thought. I don't want to do that. I don't like this. Who does he think he is? Who does she think she is? It starts with those thoughts. And the Bible is telling us we have to take those thoughts and keep them in prison until they acknowledge Jesus Christ is Lord. See, that's what was going on in the garden. Jesus was having thoughts. You really want to be crucified? Are you really going to put your body through all that torment? You know nothing. I'm just sitting down. You know, because he's sitting down, he's having a conversation with his thoughts. You know what they do when they crucify you. And you're going to do that for these people? Don't you remember Jesus? Hosanna, 7 days later, crucify him. And you're going to die for these jokers? And what did he do? Father, if it be willing, remove this cup. If not, not thy, my will, but thine. See, he's herding up. He thought he had it. He left, still there. Let me go back again. Father, if you're willing, remove this cup. If not, your will, not my will. Goes back. Thought still there. Okay, let me go back. I got to herd some more thoughts up. And he kept doing that until his thoughts recognized the authority of God. And when his thoughts got to that place, then he could leave the garden and go finish. But he stayed put until he could get his head together, get his thoughts in line with God's plan for him. And we have to do the same thing. We have to do the same thing, folks. Don't get stuck on Jesus doing it three times. It may take you more than that. That's okay. It could be 6,853 times. The key is to get all your thoughts to recognize, to acknowledge the authority of the Christ. Once you get your thoughts to that place, you will always be obedient to what God says. Because remember, you're going to give your obedience to somebody or something. God is saying you need to give it, we need to give it to Christ. Then, because one translation says, we even fight to capture every thought till it acknowledges the authority of Christ. Once we are sure of your obedience, we shall not shrink away from dealing with those who refuse to obey. So that means one of the reasons Well, it's easy to read into that scripture that one of the reasons there's so much nonsense going on in this world, the church not walking in obedience to Christ. So how can we go to someone who's wrong and tell them what they should be doing when they watch our lives and see we ain't doing it either? You need to think about that. That's why Jesus said, first take the telephone pole out of your eye, okay? Then you can take a little teeny splinter out of your brother's eye, okay? But get the telephone pole out of your eye first. You say, well, why is that important? You can do a lot of damage with a pole sticking out of your eye, okay? Because when you turn around, you're hurting people. You're not helping them because you're not seeing clearly yourself. So how can we help someone be obedient to the things of God when we're not? So, well, I'm obedient. Yeah, sometimes we are. Sometimes we all are. But I'm not going to ask for a show of hands on who's obedient all the time. Okay. But if I did ask, we should be, seriously, we should be at the place where every last one of us can raise our hands boldly. But we can't, me included. We can't, and that's wrong. All we have, we just have to simply obey God. That's we talk about going back to basics. It doesn't get any more basic than that. That's all we need, because through our obedience, we become proper examples for the world. See, we don't have to necessarily share the gospel with words. People are more concerned with our actions. We have, there's a restaurant we go to, we turned it upside down one day. Not because the waiters got our order wrong, but because we blessed the stranger. We picked up their check. God said, pick up their check. We picked up their check. Didn't even think about it. Told their server. Turned out there was a 68th wedding anniversary or something. We found out later. But then there was another couple that we met by doing something similar a couple of years ago. They were having a tough time. God said, pay for them and have the waiter or waitress tell them that God took care of the bill, and just like he took care of this bill, he's going to take care of all the other areas in your life. But then the waiter didn't follow our instructions and pointed us out. But they came, and he came with tears in his eyes because they were going through something and they needed a word. God knew that. We had to be obedient to first go to that restaurant because we had choices, and then we had to be obedient to buy breakfast for a stranger. Not wanting any glory. We don't want to pat on the back. Oh, thanks. Good job. Good. No. We didn't want them to know. But they were there that particular day, so we go to pay the check. And the elderly couple's going there and said, no, we have their check. The guy said, okay, wizard. And the guy said, no, I have their check. Okay. And then, so we had two people that wanted to pay our check. Okay. All we did was what God said. We find out from when we say, yeah, we feel like going to Bon Appetit. Feel like some quiche today. God will say, go to the diner. Or if you like a waffle, he'll say, go eat quiche. You know what? But every time he does that, something happens. And he uses us to bless other people. We don't go looking for it. But that's what he tells us to do. That's what we do. And he wants all of us to be the same way. We sing the song, where you lead me, I will follow. Then he's leading us and we're resisting. You know, it didn't say, where you lead me, you have to drag me because I'm going to dig my heels in the ground. No, we need to go willingly. The scripture said, if you are willing and obedient, and willing is important. Because you can be obedient and still get in trouble because you're grumbling and complaining all the way. And you'll still wind up in a bind because you're not willing. So you have to want to be obedient to what God says. And if you want to, how many of you don't like doing things you want to do? Exactly. So we have to get to the place where we want to do the things God tells us to do, and we don't care what they are. Period. I'm telling you, your whole life will change. Your whole life. I'm just about done. But I'm just going to say this again. If we're not obedient, or you better put, we will never become obedient until we master bringing all of our thoughts to the authority of Christ. We have to corral them and keep them corralled until they say, I yield. I yield. But until then, you're going to have to keep going to God. Do what Pastor Clinton taught us. Father, these are not my thoughts. These are renegade thoughts. And I'm corralling them now and making them. You know what? You would teach them a lesson. Put on a tape and start listening to it. Put on a tape about being obedient and sit down and just listen to it. So you're going to listen to this word, mind, until you get yourself in order. But you have to do things that radically if you really want it. I mean, how many of you have wanted, you wanted something to the point where you didn't care what you had to go through to get it? Well, that's the way we have to be about being obedient. Nothing should be more important than being obedient to God. Nothing. I don't care who it is, what it is, who she is, he is. It doesn't matter. If it gets in the way of your obedience to God, you got a problem. You got a big problem. Because now not only are you disobedient, but you're also guilty of idolatry. And you put that other person in jeopardy. Because God said, you will have no other gods. And so if he has to, he will move them out of the way. And you don't want to be in that point, in that place. I know I don't want to be in that place. In fact, I'm not going to be in that place. I don't care what happens. So, here's the deal, folks. God is very clear with the instructions that he gives. Very clear. You know, one of the lines that I throw around is, God makes things so clear, Stevie Wonder can see them. And because that's so, we need to take off our spiritual blinders so that we can see it. Because that's the only reason we don't see it is because we're covering it. And the only reason we're covering it is because if we see it, we know we got to do it. I have news for you. If he's told you and you heard it, you got to do it. Okay. Whether you see it or not, you know it. You know. Some of you sitting here, you've been called to do things here in the ministry. And you haven't done it. You're thinking about the time it takes. You're thinking about the travel. You're thinking about gas. You're thinking about all these things. God, boy, if they were just around the corner, I'd be there every day. No, you wouldn't. No, you wouldn't. That's like saying, God, if you give me $1 million, I'll tithe. Really? Tithe on the quarter that you have. Because if you don't tithe on that, you'll never get to $1 million, which means you'll never tithe. Okay? But we have to understand those little things. I can't impress enough just simple obedience. There's nothing elaborate here. God speaks, we do what he says. If he doesn't speak, we don't move. It's that simple. He said, my sheep . So if you're not hearing, who are you following? When you do something, you're asking God's direction and you're not getting an answer. Where is it written that means you're supposed to move out anyway? Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. They know my voice. They follow me. A stranger they won't follow because they don't know the voice of a stranger. So why aren't we following Jesus? Why are we following other things? We're disobedient. And we have to fix it. God has spoken a lot of things concerning this ministry. And all of them, every single thing he's ever spoken about this ministry has obedience tied right to it. We have to be obedient. If Pastor Sarah wasn't obedient to drive around this building and speak to it, we wouldn't be sitting in here. If they weren't obedient to go to Rhema, we wouldn't be sitting in here. If they weren't obedient to quit their jobs, we wouldn't be sitting in here. We need to understand, if they weren't obedient to put in some of the things that we think are ridiculous, we wouldn't be here. Because God knew what we needed based on the plan he has for this ministry. It always seemed like we were always going up like this. You know what? They were 15 years ahead of their time. But that's where God placed us. Why? He needed examples. And he still needs examples. People need to know that you can live this life, folks. Enough of this 30% of Christians getting divorced. That's ridiculous. And you can't tell me God told me to get divorced. Because Jesus said, I hate divorce. But it's okay, you can do it. No. And I stand that saying when I'm divorced. I didn't know any better then, but I'm not using that as an excuse. That's just where I was at that time. We know better now. And don't think stuff doesn't come. It be coming. He wants bad examples. Pastor Dean told us something. I need to think about this. He has a church in Jamaica also, and there is this huge cult, and they have all this property, all these buildings. People are flowing in and out of there. They got money pouring to do all sorts of things. And he was like, God, there's something about this that's not right. He said, we're teaching your word. We're living right before you. Why do they have all of this stuff? He said, there are no demons opposing them. That's why it seems, anybody other than me feel, man, since I became a Christian, it seems like, and sometimes you'll utter those words, it was better when I was. Before Christ, you didn't have the demons opposing you like you do now. And you think of some of the stuff that you used to do. Nobody had to chide you into doing it. You think about that. They tell you like, yes, let's go. But now you've made up your mind, you're going to do things the right way. And Satan has put imps on assignment to discourage you, to make you go a different way. That's why the Bible says we have to press for the mark of the prize of the high calling. There's stuff you have to go through. There are thoughts you're going to have to gather and bring them captive until they say, Jesus Christ is Lord. And that's when we move, and only then. And then what are you watch and see what a mighty army we will be when we all start walking in simple obedience.